You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom coming to you live. I sure enjoy coming here. And Danny, thank you for everything that you do for me. I couldn't do this program without Danny here. And so great, my grateful thanks to you, Danny. And some of you need to thank some people around you. That's what the Lord's really kind of been impressing upon my heart, is to be grateful for each, you know, what your wife does for you, or your husband does for you, your friend does for you, your neighborhood, that we're to be grateful and serve with a servant's heart. You know, I heard Billy Graham say, believe it or not, Billy Graham shared this one time at one of his meetings. He said, you know, when I go to heaven, I hope I hear the Lord tell me. Can you imagine Billy Graham saying this? He said, someone telling me that, or the Lord telling me that, enter thou good and well and faithful servant into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to be known as a servant to God's people, to you. And that's what I want you to do, is to be a servant. We don't need titles today. Everybody wants a title and all this. And I'm not against titles, but I think, you know, if you're after a title, you know, to say, look what I'm doing, look what, we don't need one, you know. We need to just give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and be that servant, and have serve with a servant's heart. My message pretty soon, I'm going to play a song. My message this morning is the parable of the unmerciful servant, the unmerciful servant. And this is really, it spoke to my heart when I was studying this. And, you know, we're to be grateful. If someone does something for us, you know, be thankful, be grateful to them. You know, there were 10 lepers in the Bible, I'm reminded, and Jesus healed them, but only one came back to thank him. Only one. And Jesus told him, he said, where are the other nine? And you know, Jesus told him to be made whole. And I often wondered about that. And, you know, I know I shared this program before. You know, I tend to want to share the same stories. But, you know, I know there's new listeners listening. But I noticed when I had the opportunity to go to the island of Molokai, which is in the Hawaiian Islands, it's a place where they had a leper colony. And there's very few left today there. They had an opportunity to stay there when leprosy was cured years ago, but a lot of them decided to stay there on that island. And I noticed people with leprosy have scars, stubby nose, stubby fingers, and they were cured, but they got to stay on the island of Molokai. When Jesus told the one leper, be made whole, he was already healed, but he showed and bared no more scars and stubby fingers. He could have had a half a nose, half an ear, because leprosy eats the body, eats the skin. And that leper walked away, and he was completely as if he never had leprosy. And he was grateful to the Lord. I remember one time being in the mission field, the team went on to, I believe it was Bombay. It's not called Bombay anymore, India. I stayed behind and, you know, took care of the office, paperwork, sending thank you cards out, and they'd have me mow the yard and clean up, do the look. And when I picked up the mail, I tell you, I had to have a big bag to pick up all the mail that people would send to the missions. And we were very grateful for each and every person that gave to the ministry. And I'll never forget this one lady when I picked the mail up, and I did the thank you notes, because Dr. Rainer was really adamant about, when someone ever gives, regardless of the amount, always send a thank you. And this lady, she and her husband, they were from Belief, Colorado. And I proceeded to write her a thank you card. And she sent $1 to the ministry. And I sent her a thank you card back. And then it was about 3 weeks later, the mission team came back. Dr. Patrick and the team came back. And Dr. Patrick came up to me and said, this lady was really grateful that you sent her a card. I want you to read this letter. And I remembered her because we don't get dollar bills too much from Colorado to Hawaii. I thought, Lord, this costs more to send this dollar. But I still proceeded, and I sent her a thank you card. And Dr. Patrick, weeks later, came and said, read this letter. And I said, oh, I remember her. And she gave to the ministry $1. And he said, well, I want you to read it. And so I was reading it, and she had said that, you know, dear Dr. Patrick, Tom, and the staff, my husband and I sent 3 $1 bills to 3 separate ministries. She says, yours was the only one that thanked us. And on behalf of my husband and I, please accept this $10,000 gift to the Southeast Asian missions. And I thought, gee whiz. And Matt came back from India, somewhat discouraged a little bit, because they were building, I think, the 36th, if I remember. I can't remember, 36th or 7th orphanages. Orphan home in Haiti, not Haiti, but India. And he said, Tom, that's just almost the exact amount. We were short building one of the homes by 9,000. And so you never know. You know, you don't thank people because you want to get more from them, but you want to live this life and live the Christian life, and you know, just being grateful and thankful, you know, and stay focused, keep your eyes on Him. The Word reminds us, perfect peace is His, whose mind is stayed on Jesus, not the circumstances, but for, you know, have a grateful heart, you know, a grateful heart. You know, I thank my wife a lot. She made me a little dinner last night, and she served me, and I was exhausted because I'm having some, you know, I've got to have back surgery in a couple of weeks, and, you know, it's harder for me to walk now. And the surgeon said, well, you know, Tom, if you don't have the surgery, you're going to be in a wheelchair in about less than a year. And, you know, I just said, Lord, thank you for touching me. Thank you for touching me as only you can do. And I no matter what the outcome is, still thank the Lord. I've been praying for several years that the Lord would touch my back. But my pathway of healing is a surgeon because, you know, remember, God uses doctors. And so have a grateful heart. If it doesn't go your way, still have a grateful heart, you know. And, you know, thank your wife for cooking. Thank your wife for, you know, mine waits on me, and I'm amazed at how she serves me. But, you know, and just have a grateful heart. That's what the Lord would want you to do. And, you know, your pastor, always thank him for the sermon. Thank him for his service to the body of Christ, God's people. You know, just live this life as you run this race with confidence. The race is set before you. Run with it with a grateful heart. That's what I'm trying to get across this morning. So I'll be sharing in just a few minutes the parable of the unmerciful servant. You really like it, what the Lord showed me about this. But I'm going to play a song, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your just begun. Of grace,
His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in dark.
That song ministered to you. It sure did me. And no matter what you're going through this morning, you know, remember the word tells us that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to him. Just remember that. It's not your battle. You can't fight it. You know, just let go of it. You know, let go of it. Trust the Lord, like I'm doing. Trust Him with all your heart. The Scriptures tell us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Pretty soon, my name to the ministry is going to be changed, and I'm so grateful that my name won't be mentioned. I don't want it mentioned anymore. I want the Lord's name to be mentioned. The little ministry that I have is going from Tom Jones Ministries to Encouraging One Another. I love doing that because we're told to do that in Hebrews 3:13, to encourage one another daily. Why today is still called the day. And I encourage you to encourage your wife, your husband, your neighbor, your friend, someone in front of you at church, your pastor, the missionaries that come into town. Just encourage them. So I'll take a minute to pray. Father God, thank you for this day. And I do, Father, thank you for just give us a grateful heart. Let our heart beat again. You know, your heart beats people. Let our heart beat again. Let not our heart beat for stuff and things, but let our heart beat for you. Let us fall deeper in love with you. Father God, I pray that this will be a day that we could just bow, all of us could bow our heads and say, Father, no matter what we're going through, I know you're with us. Your word reminds us all, lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. So, Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you for the pastors in our land that hear your heart, that teach us the word of God. Father, I thank you for the pastors. I thank you for their lives, their dedication to you and to your people. Father, I thank you for the missionaries that take that word, go ye, literally in the word of God, that they're going and they're doing something. Your word tells us, don't be just a hear the word, but be a doer. Thank you for all letting us all be a doer. Father God, I thank you for Israel. I'm not sure I understand all the stuff that's going on. You know, I'm not sure I do. But Father God, I pray that you know what's going on. We bless Israel. Father God, you said you'll bless those that bless Israel and you'll curse those that curse Israel. So we pray that you would protect Israel. I pray a hedge of protection around Israel, that no weapon formed against Israel shall ever prosper. Minister to your people there. Give them just great insight what they're to do, Father God, because these are really dark days, treacherous days. And Iran, I don't know what's going on, Father God, with Iran. I pray that you would intervene somehow in this situation and calm Iran down. I pray that that nation would be set free, set on fire for you, Father, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior, Father God, that they would hear the essence of your heart, which beats people, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior, Father God, that they would never be in bondage, Father God, but they would open their hearts to you and be set free. I pray for the nation, the country of Iran, that, Father God, that you help them come out of bondage and be set free. All of us, even in America, you know, some of us here, we're in bondage. Maybe you're in bondage, Father. Maybe, Father God, we're in bondage to the things and to stuff. And Father, have us to get our eyes back on you, Father God. You know, have us to look to you, Father God. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening, no matter what they're going through, Father God, that they would learn to trust you. As your word reminds us all, trust in you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge you. And you said, your word said that you shall direct our path. Father God, I pray that the listeners would learn to let go, not fight a battle, not figure out today, because if we figure out, Father God, we just figure you away. I pray, Father God, that you would just strengthen us, each and every one that listens, no matter what report they've been given. And if they haven't been given a bad report, if they've been, Father, keep taking their eyes off you, that I pray that their eyes would be cast back, their eyes would be set upon you again, that they would continue to finish this race and run it with confidence. Father God, the race that's set before them. I thank you, Father God, for this day, for America. Be with our president, the governors, the senators, congressmen. Lord, I pray for unity. I pray for unity in the Capitol. I pray for unity in the White House, Father God, that we just don't get big-headed. You know, bring us down to earth. Bring us down to earth, Father God. We need you to bring us down to earth. You know, that we're nothing without you. We're absolutely nothing without you. And I pray you'd minister to the senators, whether they be Democrat, Republicans, the congressmen, whether they be Democrats, Republicans. I pray for those that are in service, Father God, the president, that they would all walk in one accord, Father God, that they wouldn't just be big-headed. You know, it's my way or no way. Father God, that you would just deal with them. Because your word says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous, Father God, that if we pray, Father God, availeth not little. Your word says much. I pray you would stir the congressmen up, the senators up, the Democrats up, the Republicans up, Father God, that we would have unity, Father God, that we wouldn't argue and be critical, Father God, that we would learn to get along. Father God, I pray your peace upon the Capitol, the White House, the Democrats, the Republicans, that they would learn, Father God, all of us would learn to get along. Father God, thank you for this day that you said you've made. You said, let us rejoice and be glad. Thank you for the listeners. I pray for Mark and Mary as they begin their trip, Father God, that you would be with them. I pray for a glorious and marvelous and wonderful time that they'll have, Father God, with family, that you be with them. I pray for a safe trip up and a safe trip back, Father God, that you go with them, that they don't go alone, that they can sense your very presence goes with them. I pray your blessings upon them, Father God. And I thank you for the listeners that are listening, that you touch them in a unique, special way. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for helping her, Father God, and touching her, as only you can do, from the top of her head to the very soles of her feet, that you said, by your stripes, we were healed. Thank you for your word. I pray that we would all that are listening would embrace your word. We would embrace you. We would take that word, Father God, and not just get, when we read it, it wouldn't just go in our head, Father God. It would just go in our hearts. You stir us up, Father God. Stir us up as only you can do. Let us not look at things and fall in love deeper with things on this earth, Father God, but fall deeper in love with you. Not the stuff on this earth, because you remind us, Father God, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let us stay focused as we, Father God, run this race with confidence, the race that's set before us, Father God. Thank you for this day, the radio program. I pray it's a blessing. As Moses once said, fill my mouth. He didn't know how to speak, and you said, just open your mouth, I'll fill it. Lord, fill my mouth with the listeners need to hear, not what Tom wants to share with the people, but what you would have me to share with the people today, that it would be the words that you would have me share with your people, that it would be encouraging to them, and that we would glean something out of it, Father God. We would learn something, as I did. You know, I pray that the parable of the unmerciful servant, that we would all be a gracious and thankful servant as we serve you, Father God. Thank you for the listeners again. Touch each one that's listening. Lisa, if you're listening, I pray a special blessing upon you for all that you've done. You know, Lord, I thank you for Lisa, that you would just wrap your arms around her. Thank you for guiding both she and her husband, directing them. I pray your richest blessings upon Lisa and Mike. The blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father God, that they would never lack, that, Father, you just take care of them. Thank you for helping them, Father, spiritually, physically, financially. I thank you. Tom, that you're listening, Tom, I pray that God would give you greater clarity with your eyesight, and you know more than all of us, the wisdom that you have, how you serve God's people. I pray God would continually wrap his arms around you. May he use you, continually use you, Thomas, in a mighty way that you know us not of. Those doors, Thomas, that you thought were closed, and I'm reminded in the book of Revelation that it says, yea, my son, I set before thee an open door, Thomas, and no man can close it. God's not done with you, Thomas. God's not done with you. You think because you're a little bit older, like myself, that, you know, we don't have much to offer and give anymore. Maybe our health is getting in the way, and God doesn't look at that. He looks at the heart. And I pray, Thomas, God promotes you. He uses you in a mighty way in the days and years to come. And I thank you, Father God, for helping Thomas with his sight, that he could see clearer. He sees better than any of us, that Father God, because he knows you. You guide him, direct him, bless his lovely wife. Use her. Use them both, Father God, in a mighty way. Continually use them, that your perfect will be done. The listeners, well, I pray, Father God, you wake us all up. You wake us up. You wake this nation up, Father God. I ask that you wake us up, you know, that we wouldn't fall asleep, that the gifts that have been dormant in our lives, Father God, that you wake those gifts in our life. You shake us, Father God, as we need to be shaken. I need to be shaken, Father God. Shake me up and burn me up, Father God, that Paul said that we must decrease, that you can increase. Father God, I don't want my flesh to increase because it stinks. I want you to increase. I want the listeners to increase. I want the listeners to catch that fire, your fire, Father God. Set us ablaze for your purpose and for your glory, that your, Father God, that your will be done, not ours. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for giving me the words to share to your people. And just thank you for stirring us up, shaking us up, ministering to us, Father God. Let us fall deeper in love with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. We pray. And Father God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. You know, don't let us get big-headed, Father God. Nope, don't let us get big-headed, Father God. Let us look at our hands and remember, we don't have those nail marks, Father God. You do. And you said you share your glory with no man. Whatever we do, whatever we accomplish, Father God, on this earth, while we're here, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Father God. Well, wow, I just wanted to pray, and Lord, just help us. Help us all. Help us all. That's my word, my message to you is about the parable of the unmerciful servant. Oh, the Lord ministered to me on this one. It can be found in the New Testament, the first book, Matthew, chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. This was Peter speaking. Now this is Jesus speaking. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, sometimes on the radio, you're going to hear me talk about this. Once in a while, I kind of, share this. Now, Jesus is saying, I'll tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, if you look at that, 70 times seven is 490 times, and I'll get back to that in a minute. Jesus goes on and says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. If you look at that, a man owed this gentleman, this king, 10,000 talents. You know how much that is? Millions of dollars. Millions. Keep that in mind now. Now, Jesus goes on, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and that all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. The servant master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go free. Verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one servant who owed him 100 denarii. That's just a few dollars. This is Jesus still speaking. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Verse 29. His fellow servant fell to his knees, and he begged him, be patient with me. I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that had happened. The master called the servant. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on the fellow servant just as I had on you? This is Jesus still speaking. In verse 34 it says, In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Not your head. It's from your heart. Now, here was a master that this servant owed 10,000 talents to. That was millions of dollars today. That's millions. Millions. And the master forgave him. The master forgave him. And then when the servant went off, he saw the man that owed him just a few dollars. And he wanted it back. Well, the first master forgave him of the millions that he owed the master. Now this servant went out and found someone that owed him a few dollars, and he demanded it back. You know, that's why Jesus tells us to, this is what Jesus is saying again. Let's, verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So the servant, he was let go, and he was forgiven, and yet he himself turned around and expected another gentleman that owed him just a few dollars to pay him back. You know, when I look at this story and glean from it, the first servant owed the master millions of dollars. In today's stand, it was millions. It was a large sum of money, but he was forgiven. Yet he too went out and found someone that owed him a few dollars and was hard on him. Let us not be hard on anyone. Let's do what Jesus said to do, you know. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, we all know, do our math, 70 times seven is what? 490 times. You're not going to count how many times you've forgiven someone. You're not going to just say, okay, I've forgiven him once, I've forgiven him twice, all of us need to learn to forgive in the very beginning. Now, I'm not saying if you owe someone something, you know, you need to pay that debt back. You know, you do need to pay that debt back. But that master had a heart, and he forgave the debt. But the second one, he wouldn't forgive the one that owed him money. That's interesting. And again, Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's not your head, you know. You read the Word of God, you know, there's people that know the Word better than I do, you know, and I'm still learning it. I'm still discovering, you know, wow, this is unique. Sometimes the Lord, when you read the Scriptures, He'll say, He'll touch your heart and inspire you that, oh, wow, this really means it. Just like that today, I looked at the story and I didn't realize that the servant owed the master millions of dollars. I didn't realize that. Whether it's $1 million you owe someone or a few dollars, you know, really you're to pay that back. But if they don't pay you back, you need to let go of it and move on. Or if someone's hurt you, someone's disappointed you, someone said something to you. You know, we've all been disappointed. We've all been hurt. You know, we just have to learn to forgive. You need to learn to forgive. I do too, you know. And I like what Jesus said. Forgive your brother from your heart, not your head. Because you can read the Word of God and say, well, you know, I know I've been around people who really know the Word of God and they're just really articulate in the Word, but it's not coming from their heart. It's not coming from their heart at all. It's coming from their head, their mind. You have to take the Word of God, and as you read the Word of God, just say, Lord, take it from the head and put it in the heart. Because I believe if we just ask the Lord, you know, I don't want head knowledge, I want heart knowledge. Take the Word that, you know, you're reading and ask the Lord to put it in your heart. And it'll stir you up and you'll begin to do the things Jesus has called you to do. You know, thank you, Mark, for Mark and Mary. You shared a story with me. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but they saw someone in need of something and they acted upon it. And I thank you, Mark and Mary, for doing that. Because that's what Jesus would have us to do, you know. People would always tell me, well, Tom, you know, God's in control. Yes, I know God's in control. You know, one time I shared something and, you know, people were calling the radio back then. And they were all stirred up that I made a comment about a president. And I just shared with them, you know, Jesus isn't going to go to the voting booth. You are, you know, and. Jesus must use us. You know, we are his hands, his eyes, his mouth, his feet. You know, if you look at something, you know, if you see something or you see someone in need, you know, do it. Don't just, as the Word reminds us all, be not just a hearer of the Word. We must be a doer of the Word. He wants us to be a doer, not just a hearer only, but become a doer. And so for what I got out of this story, whether you owe someone millions or whether you owe them a few dollars, we are to forgive if they don't pay us back. It's not that big the loan is, or it's your heart that says, I forgive them. I have mercy on them, you know. And let's just have a heart of being thankful and being grateful and stay focused. Lord, just have us stay focused on you, and let our eyes stay upon, keep our eyes upon you. As you said, you told us to run this race with confidence, the race that's set before us. I pray, you know, as in my prayer, that Lord, stir us up. Let us hear your heart. You know, I remember one time in the Word, the Pharisees, I believe it was the Pharisees that caught the disciples were eating with dirty hands. And the tradition back then was they had to wash their hands. The Jewish tradition, they had to wash their hands before they eat. They caught him in the act, eating with dirty hands. Then Jesus steps in and they said, "We caught him. We caught him." They told Jesus what had happened. They caught the disciples eating with dirty hands. And I love what Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious people. You know, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body. It's what comes out. You know, we worry about, you know, what goes into the mouth. And it's good to be conscientious of what we eat and watch our diet. But some people just go to extremes with it. You know, no meat, no this, no this, no this, no, no, no. You know, we get fanatical about food, I guess. Or just give us a healthy attitude about food. And Jesus just told him, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body. Some of you need to hear this, you know, and it's what comes out of the mouth. I love what Jesus said. Don't worry about what goes into that mouth. Worry about what comes out. You know, Lord, help us. Help us with that one, that we would just stir people up and encourage them and love on them with your love, with your grace, and with your mercy. That's what he wants us to do. The unmerciful servant. Let's be merciful and grateful servant, you know. And if you owe anyone money and they don't pay you back, let it go. Let it go. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Jesus is saying here. Just let it go. Someone's offended you. Whether it be big issue, big problem, or small, forgive them. You know, forgive them. As Jesus says here, you know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21. You can read it later on. Chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. So if someone's offended you, if someone said something, if someone hasn't paid you back, you know, whether big or small amounts, you have to forgive them. You have to forgive them, because I believe if unforgiveness is like, I believe it's like cancer to the body. If you don't forgive somebody, you're just going to be stirring. You're going to be just stewing over it and worrying over it, and it's going to eat you alive. You know, and Jesus doesn't want us to do that. You know, he doesn't want us to do that. This is how many times the Heavenly Father will treat. In verse 35, let me read it again. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Not your mind. You think you might have forgiven him. Nope, it's got to come from your heart. Lord, I forgive them. I let go of that loan, the money I lent them. You know, I forgive that person. You know, forgive you. Really, I really see this as a serious problem going on in America, you know, in the churches. You know, we get offended. I like what Pastor Malcolm said one time. I really do. He said something that, you know, he said, if someone in this church has hurt you, there's going to be many others in this church that's going to love on you. Look at it that way now. You know, look at it that way. Pastor Malcolm, Pastor Lynn, Pastor Josh, thank you for all the things that you do, the ministry, the study in the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you for just sharing your heart, you know, and I just can't thank you enough. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to learn to forgive. Again, 70 times 7. So you're going to count how many times you've forgiven? No, you're going to forgive them one time from the heart, and you're going to move on. Some of you are stuck. You know, we get stuck sometimes. I know I do. I get stuck. Do you get stuck? The only one that can help me is the Lord. I need help, Lord. I need help. You know, I encourage you all to start reading the Word of God. I encourage you all to go to church. Be faithful at church. Be faithful with your giving to the church, you know. My wife made a comment the other day, you know, will a man rob God? And the scriptures tell us, will a man rob God with his tithes and offerings? You know, I don't want to get into the money stuff, but the Lord, you know, God wrote the book. You know, will a man rob God? You know, pastors have a church and they have people and they have expenses. Ministry has expenses too. I've got a few coming up with the attorney and the name change, but we have to stay focused. If God's called you to do something, you know, pastor, stay focused. If you're a missionary and you're in town, stay focused. Because what God's ordered in your life, he's going to pay for. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we serve, that you serve. He's a big God. Pastor Malcolm, thank you for the arduous hours that you study. I want to thank you. He shares from his heart the word of God, and I listen to him, and I'm like a sponge. I thank you for that, Pastor Malcolm. You're just a great pastor. And Pastor Lynn, you are too. I mean, when they share the word of God, this is at the Calvary in Merritt Island. When they share the word of God, I tell you what, it pierces the very inner being of my heart and my soul. So I thank him for that. Marty, I text a elder in the church the other day and ask him to pray for me. And because, you know, I'm a little scared about having surgery. If I don't have it, I'm going to be, you know, probably in a wheelchair. And I don't want to be in a wheelchair. I have things for the Lord to do, and I want to do them. And it's interfering in my walking now. I'm starting to slow more and more each day. And I thought, Lord, thank you for giving me that strength. And I believed for healing for the last 2 years. Some of you are praying for God for healing. And maybe his pathway isn't supernaturally to heal you, although he can do that. You know, that's what I believe for. But he's using a doctor. And so don't be against it if he has to use a doctor, because sometimes he'll use prayer and medicine to heal you. Sometimes he'll use the doctor to heal you. Sometimes he'll supernaturally touch you. You could be sleeping and he'll touch your body. We serve a big God. As the scriptures tell us, is there anything too difficult for thee? There's absolutely nothing too difficult for God. You know, I'm just grateful that he led me to a doctor that can help me, you know, not be bound in a wheelchair, that I can go to the mission fields, that I can go into different churches throughout America and encourage them to draw closer to Jesus. That's what I want to do when I don't have anything else to do. I'm working, but I'm starting to work part-time a little bit now, and I pray that I can walk and be faithful to Jesus, to whatever he calls me to do. And that's what I'm encouraging you. Whatever he's telling you to do, just do it. Just do it. You might think, oh, well, I'm just one person. Well, you know, he can use you. I pray that, you know, we all have gifts and talents. You know, we do. And I pray that he awakens that gift in your life, and that you make sure that you give him all the praise and the glory and the honor. Not yourself. Don't know him now. You know, I used to be on Christian TV, and I got caught up. I really did. And Lord had to deal with me on that. You know, it's not about what we do or how big the ministry becomes or how many books you've written. It's about Jesus. It's really Jesus. You know, our focus needs to be on him. We need to draw, as the word, the scriptures tell us, to draw near to him. He said, I'll draw near to you. Are you drawing near to him? Is he awakening you? I pray the gifts that he's placed in your life be awakened, that you be awakened, to hear his heartbeat, which beats people, that he stirs you up, fires you up to do the things that he's calling you to do. If you're called to be a school teacher, you'd be the greatest school teacher this county has ever seen, that America's ever seen. He's called you to be an attorney. You become the greatest attorney that your area has ever seen. You're called to be a pastor. I pray you become a pastor, that you follow your heart. You follow what Jesus puts on your heart and you run with it. Don't let anyone discourage you. If you want to be a mechanic, you want to open a store up, a business up, that you do it. You know, you'd hear me say on the radio, just don't have a dream. You know, it's good to have a dream. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. I have a dream. And I was grateful for that speech he made years ago. It's one thing to have a dream. Now go live it. Go do it. Go do it. We're in dark days, saints of God. We're in dark days. You know, I've never seen a time where people are so mean-spirited. You can't even talk to people anymore. They're not reasonable anymore. You know, look at our Capitol. Look at the White House. Everybody's arguing and fighting. What in the world's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. We just need Jesus. That the bottom line is, we need Jesus. You know, we become haughty, arrogant, big-headed. You know, it's my way or no way. And that stinks. I'm telling you, this stinks, you know. And I'm not being political here, talking about Democrats or Republicans, but we need to get along. You know, we need, I tell you what, senators and congressmen and the president, I tell you what, you guys need to be, and ladies, you need to be on your knees. You need to be on your knees. Because the greatest battles that can ever be won are on our knees. You know? And we need to be more in unity in this country, and we're not. And that's all because I think we've thrown Jesus out. Someone asked me about a week or two ago, what do you think's wrong with our country? I said, well, I think we have too much stuff. No, that's not the, you know, we're blessed as a nation. We are. Yes, we do have a lot of stuff, and we are, a lot of people are into stuff, and we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful that we don't fall in love with things and not fall in love with Jesus. There's nothing wrong with things. But we need to hear his heart. We need to be on our knees, because the greatest battles that can ever be won, I don't care, you know, who you are. Elon Musk, love the guy, you know, but all of us, no matter how successful you become that you are, you still need Jesus, you know, you still need Jesus. We need Jesus. I need Jesus, you know, I do. Lord, I need you every second of my life, and keep us from getting haughty and arrogant. And I'm not picking on Elon. I like him and love him rather. But again, it doesn't matter how much money that you have. You know, how many books you've written, how big the ministry is, you know, how many rockets you send off to the moon. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with it? You know, are you passing by someone that needs a glass of water? I need something to drink, or maybe a sandwich. Are we too busy at being busy that we can't take time when the Lord tells us to help someone? It may cost you some money, but you help them. You just do it. Whatever he puts on your heart. But I pray, America, I pray that we wake up. That we wake up to hear the essence of the Lord's heart. Lord, let us hear your heart, which beats people. You know, wake our nation up. Wake our capital up. Wake the White House up. Not about glitter and glamour and look at me and look how much I'm worth and what I have in my position. You know, it's not about your title. It's about serving one another. That's what it's about, serving one another. And I'm not picking on the president by no means. But I again think the greatest battles in this nation can ever be won is going to be on our knees. And we're not on our knees. We're not. Look how we talk. You know, look at our actions, arguing with one another in the Congress and Senate, arguing, fighting amongst one another. There's no unity anymore. God, Lord, help us. Help us to wake up, to hear your heart, and to be the people that you've called us to be, the light into the dark places that you've called us to be, and to wake up. We as a nation need to wake up. I do think we have too much stuff. I do. I think we have way, way too much stuff. You know, you used to be able to have 5 pieces of tile to pick from. Now you got thousands to pick from. You know, there's not one car maker anymore. There's hundreds of car makers. You know, we're inundated with too much stuff. And I think we can get caught up. And I believe when you get caught up, you become arrogant, prideful. You know, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I heard a minister praying for people, and I couldn't sleep because of my back, and it's been so painful. I don't want to go on about it. And I was watching this clipping of a lady ministering to people, and I'm not trying to pick on her by no means. I've never heard of her. And she was praying for people, and she came to a lady with stage 4 cancer. And she prayed for her, but she said, you don't have faith. You don't have faith. And you can't be healed. And I thought, how sad to tell somebody that has stage 4 cancer that they don't have faith, enough faith. If I remember the word of God correctly, it said, if you have faith of a mustard seed and do not doubt in your heart, you can say to this mountain. Now, faith, y'all know what a mustard seed is? Your eye can barely see the mustard seed. It's so small. It's not that lady didn't have faith. She had faith. And you know, it's awful that someone would tell her you don't have faith to believe for God's healing. You know, I'll tell you, even if that lady with stage 4 cancer passes away, God healed her. God's healed her. You know? And I think we get caught up, even ministers and these evangelists, they all get too caught up. You know, their jets, their mansions, all this stuff, and how God's blessed them. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what they're doing for mankind. I want to hear what they're doing. And I'm not trying to be critical on my program. I don't want to sway that way. But I think we need to wake up as a nation. You know, we need to hear his heart. And whatever he tells you to do, I want you to just do it. You know, don't go around bragging about what Jesus is calling you to do. Because I tell you what, you're going to have many people come and tell you you shouldn't be doing it. Nope. You can't do it. God can't use you. You can't do that. You can't start a company. You can't become a senator. You can't become a governor. You can't start that business. You'll have a lot of naysayers say you can't do it. Jesus said, I can do all things. He said, I can do all things, not some things, all things, through Christ who strengthens me. So what God's put on your heart, do it. Do it. Because there are many people waiting on your gift and your talent. And I'm sharing that from my heart. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? There's only one Jonah in the Bible. There wasn't a Jonah Jr. I don't remember, look in the book of the Bible, the chapters, and it said Jonah Jr. There's only one Jonah. And if he didn't do it, and he didn't get right with God and go back and go to Nineveh, look at all the hundred, I think it was 100-something thousand people, their lives were in the palm of his hands. If you don't do what God's calling you to do, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? The Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Come on, let's be fired up and do what he tells us to do. Share your gift and your talent. God's called you to do. Let him wake your gift and you out of dormancy, that you become alive again, that you do what he tells you to do. And I tell you, if it's to be a plumber, be the best plumber that we've ever had. Electrician, doesn't matter what he's called you to do. We need plumbers. We need those professions. Just do what he tells you to do, and God will bless you. We're to be a blessing to one another, not brag about our books we've written and how much God's blessed us with and the jet I'm flying in. And Lord, help us. Help us with all this stuff. Come out of this arrogant state that we're in as a nation. You know, we've gotten haughty and caught up. We don't even have time to look at the poor and the needles on the ground in California and L.A. that's laying on the ground. Let's clean that place up. Tell the governor to clean that place up. But Christians, stand up. Let's make a difference in this earth. Let's make it until he calls us home. We need to make an impact in this life. And we need to serve and continue to run this race with confidence, the race that's set before us. Well, my time's almost over, and I hope you've enjoyed the program. I appreciate your prayers for me, because Lord knows I need them, because I need to stay focused. You need to stay focused too. And we need to start encouraging one another daily. As the word says, what a day is still called a day. And I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you've gleaned some things out of the message that the Lord put on my heart about the parable of the unmerciful servant. He wasn't grateful at all, that we have a grateful heart. Remember, in all things, give thanks. Till next week, may God richly bless you with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.